1230 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Super Bowl 58 kicks off in just over 5 hours, but fans in Las Vegas are already pre-gaming. This woman's rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I've been their fan for over 20 years, so. And we're finally here again. I'm excited. I'd really like the Chiefs to win.
CBS's Jared Hill tells us security is tight.
In the air, Customs and Border Protection helicopters equipped with powerful cameras will be keeping a close watch.
Obviously, for the smaller aircraft, we're basically doing crowd control, threat assessment.
On the ground, officers from more than 30 agencies are on patrol, scanning every vehicle that goes into the stadium.
Super Bowl airs on CBS at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. A helicopter on the way to the Super Bowl crashed near the Nevada-California border. Lauren Posen is with CBS Los Angeles.
Jackson Ude is still trying to process his longtime friend, Herbert Wigwe, is gone.
You know, he's very kind, a very loving person.
Wigwe, the CEO of a Nigerian bank, his wife and son are among the six people who died in a San Bernardino County helicopter crash. The FAA says the Eurocopter EC-130 crashed near Nipton on the edge of the Mojave Desert Preserve.
The NTSB is investigating what caused it to go down. The president's age is front and center after a special counsel report addressed concerns. Mr. Biden's personal attorney, Bob Bauer, was on CBS's Face the Nation and was asked point blank by our Margaret Brennan.
Does the president have any memory problems?
He does not.
Republican presidential hopeful Nikki Haley also weighed in on the age conversation on CBS.
These are people making decisions on our national security. These are people making decisions on the future of our economy. We need to know they're at the top of their game.
Congress is working right now on moving forward on a wartime aid package. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Ukraine is dangerously low on supplies, including ammo and air defenses. If America doesn't assist Ukraine, Putin is all too likely to succeed, as President Zelensky repeatedly has reminded us.
Israel is planning an imminent ground invasion of Rafah, a city on Egypt's border that was supposed to be a safe haven for Palestinians. UN humanitarian coordinator James McGoldrick told the BBC.
The safe areas that were declared are no longer safe. And if these people have to move, where can they move?
But Prime Minister Netanyahu told ABC he'll push ahead.
We're not cavalier about this. This is part of our war effort to get civilians out of harm's way. It's part of Hamas's effort to keep them in harm's way.
President Biden and Netanyahu are expected to speak today. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Hopes for reviving the expanded federal child tax credit got a big boost when the plan recently passed the U.S. House. If it eventually becomes law, advocates for low-income families say it would go a long way in fighting poverty. Here's Mike Mohn.
The U.S. House passed a bipartisan tax bill that includes a 3-year expansion of the child tax credit. Analysts say it isn't as robust as the 1-year expansion from 2021, but a key provision would allow families with little or no income to gain eligibility. Tim Smeeting, a retired economist with the University of Wisconsin, says it could allow struggling households to address a big expense they haven't been able to cover.
You can pay heating bills that you've let go because you know that the utility won't shut you off.
He says eliminating those debts frees up money for families to spend on children's needs. Despite bipartisan support in the House, the bill faces an uncertain future in the Senate, with pushback from both Republicans and Democrats. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities estimates that in the first year, expanding the child tax credit would lift as many as 400,000 kids above the poverty line. The center's Chris Cox says while there are calls to bring back the original expansion, this bill would still make a difference.
Half of kids who don't get the full credit now, their families will gain $600 or more from the bill. And about 40% of kids who don't get the full credit now, their families will gain $1,000 or more from this bill.
Bill sponsors hope to get final approval so qualifying households could claim the credit on this year's taxes. Cox says if you file earlier, the measure instructs the IRS to make good on your return. Wisconsin has an earned income tax credit, but the state is often cited as having a regressive tax structure that hurts low-income households. Experts say the federal plan would ease that burden. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies will gradually turn sunny today. Highs near the 40-degree mark. Light west winds of 5 to 10. In the overnight, mostly clear mid-20s. Sunshine mid-40s on Monday. More sunshine Tuesday. Cooler with upper 30s. Currently 26 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution.
A look at today's issues through a politically purple lens.
Now here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
All right. Hello, everybody. As you can tell, this is not Chris's voice. Chris is actually on vacation, so this is her favorite conservative dean taking over the reins tonight. I did promise her that that this afternoon, or what are we, weekends, right, Conrad? We switched to weekends now.
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturdays and Sundays, that's right. So this afternoon, I would keep it a little bit lighter and not go into any really deep discussions, because Chris is good at digging me out of a hole if I get in there. So I'm going to keep myself out of the hole in general. We're going to go a little bit lighter. We do have Mayor James Boyd with us as well to talk about this lighter topic. So, yeah. James, how are you doing?
Really good. Really excited. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I heard you're a little tired right now.
I'm a little tired.
What's the purpose for that?
I went to Madison, had a talk to some folks there about a number of things, and some assembly members and senators, and went pretty well. So a little junket to Madison.
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
Nice little junket word there. So here's what I thought we would do, right? Because we're not going to talk about the Peruvian economy and how it impacts the state of Wisconsin or anything like that.
All right.
I prepared
for that, so I'll scratch that off.
Okay. We're going to talk about sports.
Sports. Like
something,
it.
Something you and I know quite a bit about.
Like it.
Not experts again, but the reason why I want to talk about it is it does have an impact on our state. It impacts our communities. It does impact the state. It impacts our families. And both of us have been coaches in the past.
That's right.
I believe you were 30-some years as
36
a track coach?
Years, yep.
36
cross country, yeah.
Yep. And a very successful track and cross country program over at DePere High School, wasn't it?
Yep. In spite of me, they were pretty good. Yes. Yeah.
How many state titles?
The cream. None of those things. None state titles.
Can we just make it up?
Top three. We were top three once. So that's pretty
okay.
good. Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
We'll take that. Yeah. Number of state champions, individual events.
Really?
Yes. So that was exciting.
Excellent. And I've done about 15 years in soccer, all youth rec and some club soccer.
Yep.
But I think, who's one of your most famous athletes that you coached in basketball when you were in the middle school?
Basketball? Am I supposed to know this answer?
I believe so.
You're going to prompt me along here. What?
Doesn't he work for the Seattle Seahawks?
Oh, yeah. My first job teaching back in 1984, a seventh grader in my class was John Schneider, and I coached him in football and basketball. John Schneider is a general manager of the Seattle Seahawks.
And I believe.
A DePere native.
But I believe that based on your coaching, that's what took him to stardom, isn't it?
It pretty much propelled him, yes. I know he had to go to high school between and college, and then I'm sure do some stuff to work his way up in the pros, but it does come back to that foundation at Notre Dame grade school, DePere, Wisconsin. Yes, that pretty much put him over the top.
Oh.
Great guy. Still stay in touch with him.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I think one of the things when we look at sports in our state, right? So we've got the Green Bay Packers, of course. We've got the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yep.
Those are our predominant professional teams and the impacts that those teams have on our economies. How important is that to the economies in this state in terms of those positive impacts they can have economically, socially?
Yeah, we just found that out. I mean, the Brewers are asking for a little bit of money right now from the state. The Assembly and the Senate both stepped up, and so did the governor, because the Brewers pretty much said, if you don't infuse money into our stadium, we're gone, you know, within 20 years. And I think that really tells something, that they can literally, and threaten's not the right word. Right. They can portray this as a problem, and if we go, that will be detrimental to the economy, not just Milwaukee County and the surrounding counties, but to all of Wisconsin. So it's a big deal. Well, what Green Bay Packers, you know what, we're at 25 years. Mm-hmm. We had that last referendum question, which I think the same scenario. Right. The Packers leave. It's not just the local area here. It's all of Wisconsin.
Well, think about the Brewers, right? We'll use that when we started with.
Yep.
So think about the Brewers and the impact on small town Wisconsin. They're putting together these game day buses, these local establishments, bars, yep, restaurants, grills, whatever they might be, mm-hmm, putting together these packages, these bus packages, those busing companies, those bars, those restaurants, all those people that are involved in putting those fans on a bus to the Brewers, all that goes away.
All that goes away. I mean, and look at the perimeter with the Bucks. I mean, they have that whole Buck district that's absolutely created just because of that. Green Bay Packers, the whole Ashwaubenon district, you know, the Holmgren area.
Right.
Look, and a new hotel goes up, the Legacy Hotel in Ashwaubenon, a high-scale hotel you'll never see in Wisconsin. We do now.
Right.
And that's because of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, and think about, so some of the money that's been pouring into development around those stadium districts like that. I mean, the Bucks area is really cool setup the way they've got down there. The Packer one they've got here now is really cool. Yep. Ashwaubenon embraced it, right? So they embraced that whole the whole title town thing. Mm-hmm. And now, because of that, we've got the draft coming here.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really exciting. So that's in 25. So yep, next year, obviously, this April, we'll be in Detroit. We might be going. I might have a chance to go with the local representatives to go to Detroit to see how things work, because literally they're starting right now. Well, they started, you know, 3 months ago to prepare, sure, for what's next year in April. It's, sure, mind-blowing. And then the economic impact, I think per game for a Packer game, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but around $18 million, mm-hmm, of economic impact in the area surrounding what we'll call northeastern Wisconsin in addition to northeastern Wisconsin. That's a huge number.
It is.
But the economic impact just for the draft for that 1 week,
yeah,
you can triple that.
Yeah, that. And that's outstanding. And we were talking about this the other night after a council meeting, room tax, right?
Yep.
So City of De Pere took a lot of their room tax and we committed it to the county, mm-hmm, to help out with some projects that were really good projects.
All of our room tax.
Yeah, yeah, all of it. They're, mm-hmm, really beneficial. Mm-hmm. But now De Pere gave that up. But all that economic impact from those events, like the draft and the Packer games, all those types of things, have a positive impact on communities that surround that have room tax that stays with them.
Absolutely. Take it a step further. I saw Brad Toll last night at a restaurant, and Brad Toll's the director of Discover Green Bay.
Yes.
So that's what our money funnels to bring in events to this area. So at this establishment I was at, he was with a bunch of bowling people from around the country, and they're trying to get a bowling organization to use all the alleys in the Fox Cities and the Green Bay area, which will bring in tens of thousands of people next year.
Wow. I mean,
so let's take the Packers aside and just throw it over there. Bowling, you know, yeah, huge.
It was much bigger back in the day.
Because we're talking sports and we're, right, talking generation of revenue. We're talking, yeah, hotel tax and how that benefits this area. That's what it does.
Wow. So, and I know right now we're kind of focused a little bit on the Green Bay market, but Milwaukee's got the same thing going on. And I'll even say this, if you look at some of the Timber Rattlers, right, or the Northwoods Baseball League, I believe it's the Wausau Woodchucks.
Yep.
All of those little sporting venues that are out there too, and the, mm-hmm, impact just those small ones have. Green Bay Rockers. I know there's a ton of these teams around there.
Yep.
Even those little things have such a huge impact on the economies that we have, but they also, I think what they do is they improve the quality of life in those areas.
Absolutely. But like when Green Bay had a chance to get the baseball team, you know, near the water, which the shipyard now is going,
right,
which just sounds like a wonderful project. And I don't think it's going to be great, but they had a chance to bring in a sport team, not, right, a professional, but, you know, semi-professional. But imagine the infusion of money and people in the downtown in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Shipyards are really nice. It's going to be a great concept.
I agree.
But that itself would have brought a whole lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's hard sometimes. I know we get into it because we talked about the Brewers first, right? Mm-hmm. Brewers want this stadium.
Yep.
Some people are pushing back and say, why we give these big rich owners all this money? But what we don't sometimes appreciate is the impact that they have on the community. I, yeah, get, you know, big rich owner wants all this money for the stadium. But at the same time, without a great stadium, who wants to go to the game?
Who wants to go to a game is correct. Yeah.
People come to Green Bay Packer games not all the time just to see the Packers and their home team. They want to experience Lambeau Field.
They do. And then we get them here, and then they go to the train museum, or they,
right,
go to the Malva Cultural Center in De Pere. Or,
right,
we can just name a litany of things that bring people there. So, yeah, it works out really well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we would be without the Green Bay Packers, at right. least in this area. We'll take, you know, the Brewers aside and the Bucks, but just think of that. No professional sports team, which is very possible. I mean, this whole metro area is, I don't know, 250,000. Mm-hmm. It's unthinkable, unheard of nowadays for right. a team to be relocated to a spot like that.
Nobody would ever come.
Why here. Would you?
No.
No. Would. Yeah.
So if we think about this, it's amazing that our governor and our legislature actually all got on board with this, because typically there's a big fight that goes on with it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Because the Bucks went through it. Remember when the Bucks were trying to build the new stadium,
yep.
Pfizer Forum? That was pulling teeth down there.
Yep. Yeah, and this is one time where they came together, both sides, and said, we have to have this. It can't go away.
Yeah.
And that was good to see. It was very good to see.
But look at now. So the vision that they had to build that new stadium, look at what that Deer District looks like now.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And I think that's the benefit of it. And how do you not want that for your community at some point? And I get there's money that goes in, but there's creative ways to make that happen. But how do you not want that for the future?
I'm pretty surprised, though, the Brewers have yet to embark on a district. You know, we have the Deer District, we have the Titletown District. The Packers were second, I believe, after New England had the first district in the NFL. The Packers have just grown that by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
No one's even close.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about that, too, is when you look at the Brewer Stadium where it's located, I think the location hurts it for a district.
Could be.
I think if they had the old county stadium, I think maybe you had an opportunity for that.
Yeah, or if they're closer to Pottawatomie, that would have helped. They're not that far away, though.
They're not that far away.
They can stretch it.
No.
They can stretch
it. But it's more
of
an industrial area, right? Wouldn't you say?
It is. But I don't know if, I'm not sure you've been there in the last year or so. It's changing a little bit. Yeah. So you can definitely see that they're pushing out. So maybe it's something they're thinking of. And I think taxpayers will probably say, maybe you should. I mean, we've infused money. We'll get payback. The state will get payback on that. But they'll get a lot more payback if you have more amenities around that area.
Well, and if you look, just come across the highway, there's that whole stretch of bars and things that are there.
Yep.
That could be a district, but it's, mm-hmm. there's that separation of the interstate right through the middle of it.
Yep, that's
so
right.
I think it's going to be a struggle for them, but I do like the concept of the districts. I think what Green Bay did here with the Titletown District, I think is a smart move.
Yep, absolutely. Very smart, and is paying huge dividends.
I mean, we now have businesses, corporations headquartering around that. We have condos there. We have townhomes there. We have the entertainment side of it. It's all in this little package, and then all the private business that happened on the other side of the stadium, that's been great as well. It's made an impact because we built the new Expo Center.
Yep.
That was a big part of how that district has grown. So
yep.
It's amazing stuff that happens when we put these things in place. So these pro teams have a big, big impact on our communities.
Yep, they sure do.
It's a matter of balancing that, right?
That's right.
So, all right. So pro teams, college teams, local semi-pro teams, all of these have a huge impact on our communities.
That is correct.
What else do you want to say about that?
What should I say about that? I don't know.
I love it because it's, for me, the beauty of it is it really, you know, it's one of those things that when you have them there, it's that sense of pride. It's the economic impact. It's the social side of it. It's something that gives people something to do. I think the quality of life really grows and improves with that, and it gives opportunity.
Yes, sense of belonging.
Yeah, I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she said she used to work at the Applebee's at the Brewer Stadium.
Sure.
$500 a game tips.
$500 a game. Wow.
In tips.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus whatever she was making there. So
that's awesome.
It was awesome. So, hey, we're coming up to our first break here.
Great.
And I've got Mayor James Boyd. We're talking lighter tonight. We're talking sports. We're talking the impact to our economy on our local professional teams. We'll talk about college teams. We'll break it down, get into the high school side of it. And as James had mentioned, you know, he propelled general manager John Schneider's career
over at
the
Seattle
Seahawks.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
You say you got a real solution. Well, you know.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm your guest host tonight, Dean Rash, with my guest, James Boyd, mayor of De Pere.
Happy to be here.
And we are talking sports because it's something that we can understand really well.
Yep. The other stuff is very confusing. This there's no clutter.
So no SB691?
Nope, nothing whatsoever. It's out of my mind right now.
Did you want to give an update on 691?
I can. So last week we talked about something called SB 691, the Urban Towns Bill, which would be detrimental to villages and cities. We had a lengthy conversation. I can report back right now that it's pretty much dead. So it's had a public hearing, and it's gone to committee, and it's just going nowhere. So it's not.
That's good to hear.
And it was because of what we did last week
this
broadcast.
So. Yeah,
so tell Chris that carried a lot of weight in Madison. So they referenced that as well.
I believe you 100%. Your face doesn't look truthful, but I believe your voice. All right. So, and that's it could have been.
You never know. All I know is this. It was a full court press by the villages and cities around the state doing things like this, talking to people, passing resolutions. You know, I went to Madison twice. It's stuff like that that really helps a lot.
Yeah. So I think one of the key takeaways for that is its involvement.
Yeah, absolutely.
People have to speak up and get involved.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, a full court press. So one of the things that impacts...
Ooh, segue.
Yeah, I like this. One of the things that is impacting Green Bay a little bit, our D1 basketball team.
Yeah.
So now we have this NIL or NIL, however you want to pronounce that. So we've got all this money that's in professional sports. For years, we've had all these D1 athletes that have said, I deserve to get paid because these colleges are making buku bucks off of me, right? And now we have the name, image, likeness, NIL, NIL, however people want to pronounce it,
yep,
that comes into play. Now, this is an interesting one. I don't know if I can say the name of the restaurant, but there is a restaurant in town that actually has a NIL contract with one of the players at UWGB because he grew up in Northern Michigan.
It was in the paper. You can say it.
Can I?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So, I can't remember the athlete's name.
Frank Wonders.
There you go. I knew you'd know that, has a contract with Riverside Pizza, which, by the way, is awesome pizza. Yep. I was introduced to it at about the age of 13.
Yep.
Because my stepmother is from Northern Michigan, the UP, Caspian area.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so I've had Riverside Pizza for a long time. So I took my wife there not too long ago, and that's when I found out about this kid having a little NIL contract with them to promote Riverside Pizza, which is really cool.
They must have his picture there or something, a full blow-up number or something. I mean, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. He does some ads for him and things like that. You know, he's not, you know, Braylon Allen or anything like that.
No.
Big dollar stuff, but it's a fun thing, right?
Yeah,
it's really... say you got a NIL contract.
Absolutely. Well, and then Green Bay, UWGB, now they're obviously Division I and they're participating in this, but the NIL is good for the larger programs, the smaller programs, to try to scrounge up money to get these people to stay. That's pretty hard to do.
That's going
to
be hard.
Like, you know, and this is public record as well. I mean, last year, I don't think they were paying any more than probably $5,000 per, you know, per Division I athlete, at least in the basketball program.
Sure.
So they had a pile of money, split it up. And then obviously it's the restaurants or whoever that's sponsoring that person that does it.
Right.
So technically it's not from the university.
Right.
But I hope these smaller universities and their programs survive, but it's going to be difficult.
But to your point, too, I think what's going to happen there is it's going to be community involvement.
It is, and that's what you're saying. That's a great point, because that's what you're seeing right now. So what GB did was they went to community leaders, business leaders, a couple of them, and said, hey, we need this infusion of money. We need NIL to survive, and we need these kids to get X amount of dollars. They're not going to come. And that happened. It really did. They opened up their doors, and they went to the businesses, and they've stepped up in a big way.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like a lot, but again, we talk about pro teams, that's the big guy in the room, right?
Yep.
But we talk about these college teams, that's important for those programs to exist too, because there's a lot of economic impact and value and pride that goes with those programs. Yep. UWGB, today the program is actually doing really well with the new coach. He's really turned that around. But we go back to the 80s when you had Tony Bennett playing there. I mean, they were taking trips to the tournament.
They were. I used to go to those games. I went to the games in the 70s. I was there when they were Division II and transferred over to Division I.
Yeah, when they played at the arena.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When they had 4,000 or 5,000 people there. And it's really exciting. So the turnaround happens for a wide. It's a whole new batch of players.
Right.
It's NIL. So you get the new coach and you drag people in, et cetera. And it worked.
Right.
But I went to the Resch last week, and it's not full,
right,
but it definitely is much better, much, much better than it was the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Not even close. But NIL, the money is what's getting these kids to come here.
Sure.
I'm not sure if it's good or bad. The irony is,
it's too early to know that yet.
The irony is they're winning right now and they may lose some of them,
right,
because obviously they're pretty good players and someone bigger else is going to see them, bigger money, yeah, someplace else. Yeah.
And I think,
yeah,
it's too early to tell the full impact on it, but I will say from a state side of it, I really started getting into last year, women's volleyball down at Madison.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. They are incredible. And I believe there are some.
And they're benefiting from NIL.
And they're benefiting from, mm-hmm, the NIL. But I mean, though, I have never really watched volleyball, you know, except from, you know, the Olympics, right? I started watching consistently the women, and I watched them this year as they got into the tournament. Talk about amazing athletes.
Yeah.
These are world-class athletes, and they deserve some of the dollars that they get.
Yep.
I joke with my wife. I said, I want a jersey.
You know?
I mean, they're that good. And just the pride you get out of that, again, the impact those things have on the community economically, that stadium is rocking every week, every, yep, time they're playing a game, right? Full to the brim.
The old field house.
Yeah.
It's theirs. It's converted completely for volleyball.
Just for volleyball.
Yeah.
I mean, they were able to take a building and repurpose it just, yep, for that purpose, and they're filling it up and they're winning. And the crowds are full. I mean, it's just an amazing impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And Madison has no problem with that. And they get that. And that's a great story. And we want to replicate that here.
Yeah.
You know, basketball has that right now, but hopefully for the rest, they can do it as well.
And our,
you know,
girls basketball or women's basketball here.
Women's
the same
basketball
thing.
Doing really well. Kevin, yeah, Morseth going for 500, I think, tonight, wins for UWGB.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was there for a while. He went to Michigan, right, came back. So, but yeah, 500, I think, is tonight. He should get it.
Yeah. Who will they play tonight?
I don't know that. That's a great question. I know the men right now are playing Robert Morris tonight.
Okay.
So they're 8-3 in the conference. Yep. So they're in first place, tied for first place. So that's exciting.
Yeah. And that's crazy. Robert Morris, that college down in Chicago.
Robert.
It's just like a big, tall skyscraper or something.
Robert,
off the loop.
Robert Morris, I think, is.
Isn't it?
I think it's out east.
Oh, well, I don't pay attention. Is it out east? Okay, I don't know.
I think it's out east. I think so.
There's another Morris College, University.
I believe you 100%. Yep.
Well, I could be wrong. See, again, we're not experts in the things we talk about here. We're just, you know.
Just spitballing here. We're pretty close, but we'll check that out, though.
Yeah, and I think, so going back to the impact, the pride and the impact, that type of stuff, I mean, Marquette University, UW-Milwaukee, Madison, La Crosse, Eau Claire, all those schools have that big following, all those impacts on our communities that they make. So it's not necessarily about just taking from, they're giving back.
Absolutely.
I mean, it sounds like they're taking sometimes, but it really gives back to the community.
Yeah. So we talk college, we can talk high school when we come back, because there's an economic impact there as well, too.
Ooh, I never thought about that one.
Well, I did, and I am.
Okay. So you've been there, right, uh-huh, from the high school side of it. But I think that the beauty of this is how we build our communities around these sports.
Yep.
To make sure that we've got really solid community events, sports, whatever it is, impact, so people can be proud of where they come from.
Pride. Yeah.
West DePere football, right?
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff. So yep. I think it's a beautiful thing. So I've got a little bit of music popping in my ear here. So that means Conrad is going to wrap up the segment for us in a second. So we are talking sports, the impact on our state and our local communities, and the value of having really strong programs or having sports in our communities and what that does for us. So we'll be back after the break. You are listening to The Rational Revolution with your guest host, Dean Rash, and my guest tonight, Mayor James Boyd.
Your home.
home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Just a few more hours to go until kickoff for Super Bowl 58. This 49ers fan is excited and hopeful.
Niner fans are very loyal. We're very proud to be Niner fans, right? We've been wanting this sixth ring for a long time, and it's coming.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Nikki Haley responded to former President Trump's comments about her husband being away.
It's insulting to military members. It's insulting to military families.
Her husband's with the South Carolina National Guard and is on deployment in Africa right now. After what many say is a damaging special counsel report which targets presidents' age and memory, will he drop out of the race? Democratic Senator Chris Coons told ABC.
Donald Trump is again going to be the candidate of the Republican Party. Joe Biden is the one Democrat who has beaten him, who can beat him, and who will beat him.
The report was on the mishandling of classified documents. It did not recommend any criminal charges. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Marquette gets a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Number 7th-ranked Marquette defeated St. John's 86-75. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Happy National Marquette Day, everybody. That was a terrific second-half effort by our entire group. I thought St. John's came in here with great desperation. Anytime you beat a team by one the last time and they have a shot at the buzzer to win it, they're going to feel some kind of way about that.
The Golden Eagles have now won 7 in a row. The number 11th-ranked Badgers suffering a stunning loss at Rutgers, 78-56. 22 points, the biggest win over a ranked team in Rutgers basketball history. Wisconsin has now lost 4 in a row. I'm in Las Vegas covering Super Bowl 58, where Jordan Love did some interviews, and I asked him about the slump the Packers went through.
Yeah, it was a tough stretch we had. We went on a 4-game losing streak, but I'm proud of everybody for being able to turn around.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. From Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies will gradually turn sunny today. Highs near the 40-degree mark. Light west winds of 5 to 10. In the overnight, mostly clear, mid-20s. Sunshine mid-40s on Monday. More sunshine Tuesday. Cooler with upper 30s. Currently 26 degrees.
I got serious about staying fit just a couple of years ago. Now 5Ks, yoga, and smart nutrition are all part of my weekly routine. Part of my eating right plan? Country Hearth Breads, natural breads with the whole grains and natural ingredients my body needs to perform at its best. Just a slice of toasted multigrain with peanut butter before a workout, and I'm ready to roll. Country Hearth is the easy choice because it's good for me and great tasting, too. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Todd Almost Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and
keep
on the
Southeast
app.
Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution, and tonight we are talking sports and the impact on our communities with sports. Like I said earlier, we are going a little bit lighter on this show this weekend. Chris is out of town. She has entrusted me with the microphone and told me to behave.
You're doing well.
Am I?
Oh, absolutely.
Conrad, am I doing okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, we'll have to tell Chris that.
He's actually a better judge than I am, so I'm sure he's heard you for quite some time. So if you got that review, that's pretty good.
Well, there was a show, I believe, Conrad, might have been one of your first ones, where Chris actually sent a text and told me that I was going to be in trouble when she saw me next.
I can't imagine that. Actually, I can imagine that. Who am I kidding? Yes,
yeah, you've been dealing with me for a long time in city council.
Pretty much spot on that one.
Yeah, so we've been talking about sports. We've talked about our professional teams in our state and the impact that they can have. We've talked about our college teams and some of the economy that goes around that, especially when we're getting into smaller Division I schools where they're using some of that NIL money, right,
mm-hmm.
that influence to bring players in and create strong programs. I know it's kind of funny, and I mean, Butler University, right, in Indiana someplace.
Yep,
right.
You're right, Indiana.
Watching them in the Big East, it just blows my mind that they used to be in the same Horizon League with the Phoenix years ago, and they just were able to create such a strong program, and what that can do to that university and that community and that state, even in that sense. And they're still a strong program.
They still are a strong program. Yeah, it is quite remarkable. But getting back to NIL, I think it'll probably come back and bite them, the NCAA, as they keep moving forward. A good example is Toledo. A DePere grad, Todd Kowalczyk, who used to be at Green Bay and be the head coach, is at Toledo. And he shared a story that I think he lost a player last year, and I can't remember. I think he went to Baylor. Anyways, let's just say, and this may not be far off, Toledo can offer $100,000 NIL opportunities per athlete, which for that school, they should be able to, I would think, because GB's at about 15 right now and they want to go higher.
Yep.
But he lost a player to go to Baylor that I think was offered $500,000 to $1 million.
Holy smokes.
I think there's going to be a point where the smaller schools, the Green Bays and the Toledos and stuff, just won't be able to keep up. And I saw Rick Pitino said something, there's going to have to be a salary cap. There's going to have to be something put in place because it's going to be, the big ones are going to eat up the smaller ones.
So that kind of goes back to a little bit of Major League Baseball, right? Because that's, think of George Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
I mean, he bought championships.
Bought championships, and they put
because
the salary cap
had the
in.
Money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And their salary cap, I don't understand it very well, but it's not, I don't believe it's a really true salary cap, but I know there's a baseball guru out there that can tell me I'm wrong. I know it's something to make it more even.
It's something, but you can also just pay a penalty if you go above it. So.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Unlike the NFL.
NFL, I think, is a pretty good one.
Right.
Yeah.
And NBA salary cap?
I'm not sure. I'm seeing these salaries, and I got to figure no, but
yeah.
they must.
Well, somebody
and if
can.
And if they do, no one's really dominating, so it's not really affecting it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
I think if we're talking about the NBA really quickly, what in the world is going on with the Bucks coaching situation?
Yeah, I mean, the new guy comes in, Doc Rivers, and he loses 4-5.
Yeah.
So that's not much good. They're playing Minnesota tonight. Hopefully they turn it around.
I mean, I know we're not sports aficionados. We are, but we're not experts.
We are.
But we're not experts. But I mean, come on. I don't even understand the firing from last year. You got all this talent there. And this to me is one of the, from like a business standpoint, a community standpoint, without strong leaders, you get chaos.
Yeah.
So right now the Bucks are in the middle of chaos because they have talent. They have a ton of talent.
Well, take it a step further. I mean, county money, state money was infused in the DePere district and to build, you know, keep the stadium there and stuff like that, and in the arena. And there are people saying right now, you're paying three head coaches. That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
And clearly it should have an impact. You know, we're paying for this.
Right.
So let's get it right.
Yeah,
hopefully they will. So I'm assuming they'll keep Doc Rivers till the end. But if not, they're going to be paying four head coaches. It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
That's a pile of cash.
So do we need to do like the young man did here in the area and apply to be the GM for
the
Bucks?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, they should. Yeah, they really should. I think the only pure sport we have left right now is, you know, if you're looking at it, would be high school.
Yeah, I agree. And even there's been talk, you know, some schools, because there might be parochial or private.
Sure.
You know, they can offer some things to pull athletes over there to make a program.
Unlimited boundaries, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yes. And I don't know that that's as great of an issue as we think it is. I just think some of the schools just have programs that are solid and they've had great coaching. You look at Kimberly for years with their football with, was it Coach Jones?
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing run that they had there. And that was all the talent of that leadership in that program and getting those kids excited about it, getting them started early. Fast break basketball, another prime example. De Pere's turned out some really good basketball teams, girls and boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that's attributed to getting the kids started early in the programs.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And then it's fun. It's clean. It's something that communities take pride in, you know, so you can go to Hudson and this is what the people grab onto.
Right.
You know,
right.
We talk about having D1 basketball in this area and the sports teams, but in other parts of the state that they don't have that.
No.
The high school is there.
But they fill those gyms.
Oh, it's incredible.
You get into some of those smaller, you know, my parents grew up in Bowler and Gresham and as a kid spending a lot of time over there with a, you know, aunts and uncles that played sports and things like you go into those gyms, they are packed. They're standing room only in communities of 400 or 500. That's pride.
Yeah. When I started coaching in the '80s, De Pere was in the Old Bay Conference, which West De Pere still is in, I think. Right.
Correct.
Yeah. We traveled to Clintonville and Ocano Falls, small communities, but the pride in those communities. And it was so cool.
Yeah. And we even have it in our city. So I'm a West De Pere guy. You are up on the opposite side of the river.
Yep.
And we're not supposed to get along.
We're not, but we
from
do.
From a sports standpoint.
Amazingly, we do. Well, I'm not sure you even know this, but years ago in the 40s and 50s, they fought each other, West De Pere, East De Pere, and De Pere had fights on the bridge and, you know, bonfires and everything breaking. They stopped competing, the high schools.
I heard
for a couple decades.
I heard that. You'd mentioned that once before we were having this discussion about West and East. And I think the beauty of high school sports is it's not so much about turning out great athletes.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting kids involved in something and then getting them to achieve and do things that they don't think they can do.
Yeah. When I coached, I never chased championships. It was always nice. It was a byproduct of what could happen. But if I stayed in coaching waiting for what could happen, you know, I'd just be all burned out. It was just a connecting with the athletes, with the kids.
It's the individual side.
Yeah, it really is.
We've had stories where you've got your kid that's going to go to state.
Yep.
Right. And you're pushing him, you're driving him, but that kid also has drive inside them already.
Yep.
They want that. But then you have the other kid who is, you know, we'll just say a girl miler, because I had one of these stories, and she just wanted to break 6 minutes. And she was in her senior year, and she had brought her times down. And I remember running splits for her at one of the meets and told her where she had to be at, and she was hitting all of them, like right on the money.
Good feeling for
and
both of you.
She came down to that last 200, and she was so excited about hitting that number. I've never seen her finish stronger, and I believe she actually broke 6 minutes by about 11 or 12 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's in there, right? Those are the better stories when it comes to high school sports.
Yeah, really,
we're not
really
turning
is.
Out D1 athletes. We're encouraging kids to do things that they don't think they can do.
No, absolutely. By the way, 1,600 meters is
1600
the actual
meters.
Official
yeah,
title of the mile, which as a track coach, I would always correct
people. 1,600 meters.
And it won't matter because they're going to say mile at any time. Yeah. So, but it's 1,600. It's a little bit of a
until they go to college and they drop that when they go to
1,500, yeah, and all the other 15, exotic 3, 5, numbers.
And 10, yep.
Yeah. And then we talk about high school. I mean, look at the area, right? We're going to have state volleyball and state girls basketball at the Resch coming up in about, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever.
Absolutely.
So that also back to an economic impact. And then you see the people that come in town and then those communities and how they represent them is really pretty cool.
Yeah, the hotels that they stay at, mm-hmm. the restaurants they're going to, that impact. And at the end of the day, again, we're not turning out these massive D1 future professionals. There's going to turn some out, right? Every school has turned out some great athletes, but 99.8% of them are just loving the game and playing
it. Just loving the game and playing it.
Being part of the teams and the families come down, the grandparents come down, the aunts and uncles come down, and they watch all that stuff, right?
Yep.
They get involved.
Yep.
And even at the smaller level, when you start getting those little kids on the soccer field at age 5 and they run around like a bumble of bees,
people.
Right?
Yes, yeah, little kids, yes.
You have to pick them up and move them, you know? And it's just, for them, it's just fun. And then eventually it turns into something they want to do.
Yeah.
But I think the lessons that are taught, everybody says it's all the cliches that go with it, but the lessons that are taught in sports are life lessons. Mm-hmm. I don't care what sport it is. I don't care what age group it is. There are things that kids learn in sports that they take with them forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the bigger impact sometimes.
Yeah, being part of a team is a very, very, very special thing. So yeah, we're kind of riffing all over the place here, but yeah, there obviously is a big impact with sports. that's just another example.
Yeah, as we talked in the beginning of the show, you know, this is just going to be a, we're just going to chat it out here a little bit.
Yeah, we're doing that.
And talking this stuff. And I think that for me, you know, I coach soccer. You were more of a track cross country guy. And I coached a little bit of track as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But it was, I think for me, I remember a team, soccer team that I got, my first club team. And they were laughing about their season before that. I said, how good you guys do last year? You seem pretty excited about it. Oh, coach, we won 2 games last year. Out of how many? 10.
Huh.
I said, ain't happening this year.
Ooh.
And, you know, and I think when they understand that, you know, putting effort in, caring about the team, and all those things.
And you have the passion.
And you have the passion mm-hmm. for it, right? That makes an impact. It changes mm-hmm. their whole attitude and their yep. mindset. We had a really talented kid on the team, but he was selfish, is not the right word, but he didn't pass a lot because that's how they played in the past.
Sure.
And then he would get a little squirrely with the ref at times, and then, you know, a couple other things. And so I wanted him on the field because he was so good, but I yanked him once and I said, sit down, you're not going until you can tell me what you did wrong. And he sat there and I'm going back. I said, sit down on the bench. You're not going anywhere.
Sure.
And after a few minutes, he came up and he said, coach, I apologize. I should not have talked to the ref that way. Oh. I said, absolutely.
Good.
That's the problem. Now have a seat. I'll put you in a couple of minutes.
Oh.
And it was just that change of mindset that, hey, I've got to play this game for the right reasons.
Yep.
Do it, you know, for the team. It's not about me, but to get that message across in the middle of the game. That's the stuff that we do as coaches. We help these kids understand that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you. I never had issues with parents. I know there's a lot of areas you hear about problems with parents on the sidelines, or I believe DePere High School's announcer just put a post out talking about the guy that was screaming all night about the fouls.
Oh.
And said, you know, they got black and white shirts for sale. You can always grab a whistle and put one of those on and get out there and referee. But I think that's part of it. We have to get back to just appreciating the kids are playing and having fun.
Yeah.
You know, this is not life and death going on here.
Problem is every time we do that, and I've done this for so long, and I coach basketball as well too. Every time you kind of train the new batch of parents that you think you might have problems with, they're through and they understand.
Right.
But then the whole other one comes forward. It's like, oh, I got to do this all over again. You know, by and large, the parents are really very good.
Yes,
but
I agree with that.
Obviously, it's the couple that really kind of, and I refereed basketball as well too. And in coaching basketball and reffing, I just learned to kind of shut my ears and just
tune it out.
Kind of play forward. But, you know, sometimes you have to address it. You know, that's important because it reflects on your, I always thought I was protecting their kid. They never knew that.
But, I agreed with that.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I feel bad for your son or daughter.
For listening.
Because they shouldn't experience this. Yeah. And you really felt bad about that. And then eventually that's how I approached it. And eventually it got resolved, but not always.
No. And I think that's important that it gets called out right away. Because the parents have to appreciate and have to understand that they're actually embarrassing their child.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way you see it. I was at a soccer game watching my kid as a spectator and listening to a fan, the mother of one of the kids out there yelling at her kid because he doesn't run fast enough. And she must have said it 3 or 4 times where he's kind of close to that sideline. And I finally spoke up and I said, ma'am, I don't know who you are. I'm guessing that's your son. That's enough. You're not helping. I said, stop berating your son about how he runs. Your kid's doing a good job out there. And then she just kind of looked at me and she was shocked. And I said, let him play.
That's good.
And then she was quiet the rest of the game. And then you get these nods of approval from other parents. Going,
yeah.
Finally, somebody spoke up. Because I'm going to guess that she does it at every game. It was the only time I'd ever seen her at a game. But that kind of stuff.
And direct approach doesn't hurt sometimes.
We have to put it to rest as quickly as we can.
I totally agree.
So I think, you know, when we look at all these sporting things that go on in our state, it comes down to pride.
It does come down to pride. And generally speaking, they're very good, not just for the economy, but as you mentioned before, for the culture
of
the particular area in the community. Yes.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We got a break coming up in about a minute here. We'll talk a little bit more about that and the impact on communities, because I know my philosophy on city council has always been, I got two concerns I want to focus on. I want to focus on kids and seniors. If we can make our community good for those two, then we make really strong communities.
So I've got to handle the rest then, huh?
Yeah, you get the rest.
I've got that 7 years.
Well, you're in the senior. You're in the senior category.
I am.
All right. So we're going to be heading into our last break here shortly. And this, you are listening to The Rational Revolution with your guest host tonight, Dean Rash. Chris is off. She's trusted me with the microphone. So far, so good. Conrad gave me a thumbs up earlier. And my guest tonight, James Boyd, mayor of De Pere, who I've had the honor of serving with for the past 10 years. So we'll be right back. It ain't free.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back. I've got my buddy, James Boyd, mayor of De Pere.
My buddy.
My buddy.
I like that.
Nobody else's, just mine. And we're going into our last segment here. We've been talking about sports and the impact it has on our communities. It has in our, even for our economy and some of the impacts that we, positive impacts that we get out of it. And before we went to break last time, I mentioned just in our communities, like for me, the importance of having activities for seniors and for kids to make our communities that much stronger. Because I think if you can do that, you create places for kids to go play, hang out, play sports, learn good habits, learn, you know, good life lessons. And then seniors that have activities that they can do as well, might not be as athletic as they were before, but there's still activities we can do for them to help them out as well. But I think one of the things, and you mentioned this in the break, we really didn't touch on, is some of the outdoor stuff and the impact that we have from the hunting and the fishing and just that is huge in our state. I mean, obviously it gets, you know, near deer hunting season and all you see is orange in the Packer Stadium, right?
Yeah. And we're, you know, right now it's just at Voyager Park and the pier and the amount of boats out right now on the Fox River and the fishermen that are out in the Fox River right now is, you know, searching for that big, you know, record walleye.
Yeah.
This can go on for 2 months. I mean, it's a big deal. And it's a sport, and it's something that has a huge impact, at least in our area, because they're coming into Voyager Park and De Pere, and they're probably in Green Bay as well. And that's going to spill over to the rest of the community. So
I know it's fun this when the walleye start to run, when you go drive across the bridge in De Pere. And you can walk across the boat.
Yeah,
literally. They're that close together.
Yeah, it's this supposedly that's the area to get the next record walleye is going to be right at the mouth of the river, at least where the paper mill is in that area.
Yeah. Right,
they're picking up right now.
You know what's interesting about that too is if we look back, some of the environmental impact that happened in the Fox River that had to be cleaned up because we talked about some water quality
real good point.
A couple shows ago.
Mm-hmm.
But all that plays an impact on our natural resources and our, you know. It could be simple as kayaking. It could be the boating, the water skiing. It could be the fishing. I love to go out on Lake Michigan, out of Kewaunee, out of that area, and go fish with my uncle for brown trout, lake trout, salmon. It's awesome. Steelheads.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, you just mentioned kayaking. You just approved, the Common Council just approved of De Pere another kayak launch. Yeah, you did. So I think
I think it'll be
in Voyager Park or whatever. But, you know, that's why I talk about that gap between little kids and then the seniors. But, you know, we also have to, you know, keep the others involved as well, too. And in kayaking, obviously, for any age. But that comes at a cost that you know, the city council lays out. I'm just talking to Pierre. But the impact, the benefit that you get from the community members is just incalculable. Well,
just to use that resource. So we did also approve at one point, and I don't know if they're coming back or not, but they were in Wrightstown where you can go there and rent a kayak.
Mm-hmm.
And that small business is putting up these kayak stations, mm-hmm. and they've got kayaks down there. They're locked up, and there's this process for getting to unlock. But there's another little small business that sprouted up just because of how we utilize and put money into our natural resources, like kayak launches.
Absolutely. Just had a conversation today when I was in Madison with the local leaders, Alloway, Ashwaubenon, Green Bay, Brown County, et cetera. We're just kind of spitballing the idea of possibly doing, because they do this in other areas, a big multi-use venue, which on the inside, a pickleball, an indoor facility.
Sure.
Pickleball courts. You could have, you know, an ice rink, you mm-hmm. know, or a wide range of things. This is a big thing that the communities are doing across the country to get people involved. So we're talking about stuff like that. Pickleball, huge thing.
Yeah, it is. You're playing.
Yeah, I'm playing. Big pickleball player. Love it.
Top
love
ranked
it.
Right now?
Top ranked in, nope, not at all. Not even close. I get the ball across the net, and that's about all I can do. But we would have never mentioned the word pickleball five years ago.
Well, when it first came up in our park board meeting, I kind of laughed at it. I'm like, okay, what is it? And then they explained it. Like, okay, sure. this is for seniors. This is like shuffleboard, modern day shuffleboard. And I'm like, no, it's
yeah. Great.
I've actually seen it on ESPN.
It's on ESPN. They're paying big money for it.
It's
crazy. The city of little old DePere, you know, laid down good money
right.
to build pickleball courts, convert tennis courts to pickleball.
And we have 8 courts now?
Something like that. Yeah. And we probably need 8 more.
Yeah, we're probably talking about more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, how do you get creative and make resources available, make things available for your community? So I think sports and community have a huge impact.
And in sports and community, that's what fosters what we're doing, because they expect us
right.
to keep that going.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we have leagues, we have for adults, kickball leagues, we have anything you play in school.
Right.
Obviously the usual ones, the basketballs and the softball and the baseball and stuff, but all these other ones as well too. And that's great. It's great that they want that.
And I look at our
Frisbee golf.
Oh yeah. We got Frisbee golf.
Very little cost and great benefit.
Look at our state parks.
Sure.
So my wife and I, we like to camp. But we like certain areas mm-hmm. because of the hiking trails.
Yep.
You know, we're not a sit by the campfire and drink and eat all weekend type of people. We want to get out and go see things and hike. And some of these, we love Kettle Moraine because there are miles and miles
of
trails to hike down there. And we take our dog with on many of them. Some of the trails we can't, but when we can, we take her with, because same thing for her. I mean, just get out and exercise, right? But there's so many cool things to see in our state. And all those things, when we can you bring those together, that's impact, that's economic impact.
Yeah.
We were up in Copper Falls this last summer. Never would have gone up there except for the fact that they had major, major hiking trails up there and tons of waterfalls. It was the coolest area.
We'll talk about reverse economic impact, the resorts up north because of the lack of snow or no snow, snowmobiling, et cetera. They just got hit hard. So talk about an economic impact of a sport, you know, snowmobiling, whatever it is. Oh,
yeah, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you're reliant on weather like that, that makes things really, really difficult.
Sure does.
But I mean, all those things are really good for our, and this is what makes Wisconsin such a great state, right? We have all these different things that we can do. We can go from the Packers to the Brewers to hiking up in the Copper Falls area, northern Wisconsin by Ashland, up in that area.
Kayaking. I mean, we have the gamut of everything.
Well, think of kayaking in I believe they got a training river in Wausau that you turn out some Olympic athletes.
Did not know that.
Whitewater kayaking over there. Absolutely.
Oh, biathlon and Brilliant. They have a whole course for that. Cross-country skiing, shooting guns and stuff like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's just some amazing things that we have to offer in this state when it comes to sports and how those sports and events and all that stuff impacts our communities.
Yep.
How it impacts, you know, our cities, our people. I mean, it's prideful. I mean, there's a lot of really cool, good stuff that's such a huge benefit to the state. So it looks like we're going to be wrapping things up here. I got the notice from Conrad. I do appreciate Chris trusting me with the microphone tonight. I promise, Chris, I did a good job.
I think you did a good job, so I'll...
James made the show.
I'm not sure what more you need, but I think you did a good job.
All right. So thank you for listening to Rational Revolution tonight, where our goal is to talk about topics from all sides and kind of get us back to that purple, because we can always agree on something, can't we?
We sure can.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Your home. home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.